estimate list fills up a bit.
Yeah.
Thanks. Hey, welcome everybody. We're just going to give the room a chance to fill up as people join coming out of the waiting room. While people are joining, I'll just call your attention to the procedure we're going to use for Q&A. I'll mention this once we're full up too, but just to give you an idea. So as always, if you're wondering about the program and haven't yet had time to see the solicitation, you'll find everything that we've published so far on the program page here. We will be posting the slides and the recording of the webinar for everybody to reference later on if you have colleagues who aren't able to attend or if you want to revisit the webinar. Room's still filling up. We'll just give it just a few more beats. Good afternoon, everybody, and thank you for joining. I'm Jim Donlan, Program Director in NSF Information and Intelligence Systems and Lead Program Director for the National AI Research Institute's program. On behalf of the entire working group, I'm pleased to present you this webinar. The webinar is scheduled to begin now at 1:30, and we're going to end it between 2:30 and 3, depending on how long it takes us to exhaust all questions. We're going to present for approximately 50 minutes, and then we'll begin taking questions for the remainder of the time. So here you can see the procedure for Q&A. You may submit your questions through the Q&A module. So if you've never been on a Zoom webinar, you should find on your little toolbar there a button as illustrated called Q&A. There's a place there where you can type your questions in, and you'll also be able to see and even upvote, if you like, the questions of other people. So we're going to be answering the questions that accumulate in there, as many of them live as we can. Some of them will answer directly in the module if they're sort of straightforward ones. So we're going to answer as many program-wide questions as we can. If your question is about a particular proposing scenario, we're likely to defer that to one-on-one contact between you and the program leads. There we go. So AI Research Institutes is a multi-sector program represented by program directors across NSF, as well as by program contacts representing the artificial intelligence priorities of our partners. Several program contacts are attending the webinar. Today, you're going to hear from the contacts listed here. These are the principal coordinators of their respective themes. We're also joined by representatives from partner organizations. In the program solicitation, you'll find a full list of program contacts for the themes and their organization affiliations. But before we get into all that, I'm very honored to introduce Dr. Sethuraman, or Panch Panchanathan. The NSF directors joined us to give you a welcome and some encouragement about the program. So for that, I'm going to drop the slides and hand it over to Dr. Panch. Sir?
Thank you, Jim. And it's truly a pleasure to be with all of you today. And welcome to NSF and welcome to this webinar. This is a very, very important webinar, as you can imagine, because AI, as you all know very well already, is a very important hot topic right now. And this is something that I take a lot of pride in talking about NSF, which has made what is possible today. I mean, NSF investments have been consistent over the last several decades. And what you hear and see about AI today is because of the investments that NSF has made over the last several decades. And I mean, if you look at NSF's investments in computing, 80% of the non-defense related research in computing, in AI, is made by NSF. And that has made possible significant discoveries, innovations, outcomes. And many of you, I'm sure, have been part of that. And we're excited to have you here to again talk to you about the AI Institute's program. When I came to NSF, this is about 3 years ago now, you know, one of the pioneering programs that are being thought about to be launched was the AI Institutes. And I said that AI Institute should be configured such that it is something that impacts every part of our nation and that makes possibilities to unleash talent and ideas, which all of you would agree is democratized and is everywhere. How do we unleash that possibility through this vehicle of AI institutes, through public-private partnerships, and as well as contexts that are embedded in each of these locations where the AI institutes are, so that we might unleash those innovations, not only in terms of the core AI activities, but also AI related to many of the disciplinary innovations, and as well as solving problems, grand challenge problems for society and humanity and national security, and of course the economy. Now, you look at the first seven AI institutes that were launched. I had implored folks to make sure that, we seek partnerships. While NSF is investing close to $100 million, to the tune of $20 million an institute, five of them that NSF had funding for, I wanted to make sure that it was not limited by that. We wanted to make sure that we partnered with other entities to be able to bring resources and therefore expand the scale of what AI institutes can do. And in the first iteration, we had two of them fully funded by the US Department of Agriculture, in addition to other partnerships we had with the other AI institutes. And the seven of them, were the first tranche of the AI institutes. And then in the second cycle, we were able to bring six additional institutes in addition to the five NSF was going to invest in, a total of 11. And again, two more of that was USDA funded. In fact, one of them was made possible through an investment that was made by a collection of industry, a consortium of industry, Intel, Accenture, Google, and Amazon, bringing together that scale of investment of $20 million. So as you can see, through partnerships with the Department of Transportation and, and NASA and NIH and DOE and NIST and NOAA and others, clearly there's room for us to do some amazing things as we think about AI institutes and what it can do for the future. And thanks to all of you and your work and your interest is why we will be able to ensure success of this program as we continue into the future. In the third iteration, again, we had another seven institutes, to totaling now, if you're keeping count, 25 institutes that I'm pleased to say spans almost 40 states or plus 40 plus states or even more. And then, Washington, D.C., and Puerto Rico and others. So I'm so excited by the fact that the reach of this clearly meets the original mission and goals of what we want to accomplish, is that it touches many parts of our great nation and unleashes possibilities everywhere, but also takes advantage of the context of the AI expertise that resides all across our nation. Now we are here launching the next iteration. And again, the partnerships are tremendous. When I look at the new solicitation that we're building for nationwide network of AI institutes, we are focused on three exciting new areas where AI will be a powerful tool for progress. One of them is with the Simons Foundation, where we can bring the AI institute's approach to analyzing the immense volume of high quality astronomical data coming from major astronomical facilities. Not too long ago, I was there in Hawaii, in Maui, launching the Deakin Solar Telescope. And when you look at these telescopes and look at the amount of data that comes in, there is so much possibilities there to be able to use AI tools and techniques to be able to achieve the kinds of discoveries that is made possible because of the fact that you're able to bring in these advanced tools to analyzing the big data that comes from these telescopes, whether it is in Chile or Hawaii and other locations. So even achievements like the image of the black hole just a few years ago, or the recent nanograv announcement, that we brought out a few weeks ago to detect gravitational waves. This is a great time to be an astronomer, and the new AI tools are going to power exciting new discoveries. Now, likewise, we are partnering with the Intel Corporation to pursue new discoveries in materials research powered by AI. This is a very exciting area of research, and new materials with special properties are going to be the building blocks of amazing new products and technological capabilities. We are also proud to partner with Capital One for the very first time to tackle what are surely today's most pressing research issues for the future of AI: how to improve the fundamental design and understanding of rapidly advancing AI models so that we can guide and prioritize development of AI capabilities that reflect the true understanding of the world, respond to human instruction, and remain aligned with human and societal values. In July, I participated in a briefing for senators on the state of AI innovation. We have a fantastic bipartisan engagement from Congress on this issue. As I said in the beginning, this is a critical time for AI research. This has always been an important area of research and innovation. We all know that. You're all part of it. You're all making possible amazing things, and you're going to make possible even greater things. So, but now we are seeing new attention from the public and from lawmakers who want to know more about what AI means for how we work, for our economy, and for our national competitiveness. So that is why this national imperative to advance AI research and development and the AI institutes are a vital part of how we fulfill that mission and carry out NSF's promise to advance science and technology for the benefit of society. So I will tell you categorically that these institutes build on a rich foundation of US leadership in AI research and innovation. They are showing how important it is to build large collaborative communities to advance AI, and how important convergent research is to solving major challenges. So all these institutes, we know, are essential to how we prepare students. At the end of the day, it's about talent and ideas being unleashed at full force and full scale all across our nation. How do we educate your future workforce and strengthen our nation's capacity for AI-powered productivity? So I'm very excited to be here with all of you. I want to thank the colleagues from NSF, the amazing work that is being done by Jim Donlan, Michael Littman, Andreas Berland, Hector Munoz-Avalia, and Sardar Ogut, and the entire team at NSF who's working really hard to make sure that they are providing you those opportunities that surely is going to transform the discipline of AI and the impact of AI in every aspect of our daily lives. So thank you for joining us. Thank you for the fact that you are part of this potential for transformational progress in AI research. The AI institutes are the bedrock of a prosperous future enabled by AI capabilities that you're envisioning, designing, developing, and implementing. And we cannot wait to see the creative partnerships you build to make all that possible. Michael and Andreas, Hector, Sardar, and Jim, thank you for the opportunity for being with all of you today. And I let you do the real work and get out of the way. So thank you all.
Dr. Panchanathan, thank you for your encouragement and your leadership. We really appreciate the environment that makes this possible. Thanks so much for joining us. So to start the webinar, I'd like to introduce now Dr. Michael Littman, who's the Division Director for the Division of Intelligent and Information Systems in SAIS. That's the home division for the program. And he's going to convey some observations on AI strategy and where the program fits in. Michael is going to be representing not only this home division for the program, but also representing Dr. Margaret Martinosi. She's our NSF Assistant Director for SAIS. Unfortunately, Margaret was called away in just the last few minutes, and Michael gladly agreed to step in and present some remarks on Margaret's behalf. So with that, I'm going to pass it off to Michael. Sir?
Yeah, thanks so much, Jim. So just to be clear, the remarks were prepared for Margaret and by Margaret. I'm going to be trying to fill in at the last moment, but I will add a little bit of my own kind of angle on some of this as well. So I am really happy to join and welcome you, not only representing the AD for the program's home directorate, the assistant director, but on behalf of all the other assistant directors of all the different directorates in NSF, each of which is a partner in this NSF-wide initiative. So as a quick aside, I personally am delighted to be part of this process as a lifelong AI researcher and a year-long NSFer. This solicitation is actually the first I've gotten to be a part of at NSF, and I'm very excited by the themes and by the opportunities and to see what everyone's going to do with it. All right. So as Dr. Panchanathan emphasized, this program is a joint effort between the National Science Foundation, partners in the interagency, and the research community to establish AI institutes that serve as national nexus points for collaborative AI efforts spanning institutions of higher education, federal agencies, industry, and nonprofits and foundations. The program and the institutes funded by it align in some significant way with each of the objectives in the National AI R&D Strategic Plan that originally inspired the AI Institutes. I'll re-emphasize that we're immensely proud of the 25 institutes funded to date in this program over the previous three rounds and continuing with this new funding opportunity. Each institute is a multidisciplinary, multi-stakeholder team focused on advancing our understanding of AI and developing the future AI workforce while addressing some of society's grand challenges. In this new solicitation, you will see that the funding opportunities span new institutes to be created over the coming 2 years. First, NSF is partnering with the Simons Foundation with the goal to fund two institutes in 2024 that advance AI and the astronomical sciences together to unlock new discoveries from the high volume of high quality and multispectral data that is coming from major astronomical facilities. Second, Intel Corporation has joined NSF to fund an institute in 2025 focused on AI advances and discovery in materials research. Today's materials research opportunities can push our quest for the advancement of AI knowledge and methods for scientific discovery, while AI has great potential to help us discover the building blocks for beneficial new products and technological capabilities. And third, in strengthening AI, we're pleased to partner with Capital One and potentially with one or more federal agencies to fund two or maybe even more institutes in 2025 to tackle what will certainly be a continuing and long-range project in AI research. And that is, how do we improve the fundamental design and understanding of rapidly advancing AI models so that we guide and prioritize development of AI capabilities in the most desirable directions? So this is going to require AI that is grounded in a true understanding of the world, meaning that it understands the concepts that it reasons over. It's instructable in that it responds appropriately to human feedback or instruction, and that we can ensure will operate consistently with human values and societal expectations, or what is referred to in the AI community as the alignment imperative. This theme is explicitly aligned with the ever-present imperative that we attain high levels of trust in the technologies that we develop. The theme aspires to trust via these principles of grounding, instructability, and alignment with our values. Such strong and robust AI can be better made to implement more effective and trustworthy assistance to humans, for example, in instruction, tutoring, and training, or in explaining their understanding or recommendations, as quoted from the solicitation. You'll hear all about these themes in greater detail from the program contacts. So I'll hand the microphone back to the program team, but I would like to leave you with this thought. I'm really proud of how our AI institutes and other federally funded research projects lead in laying the groundwork for a government priority in trustworthy and beneficial AI. So we hope to continue to see the effects continue to grow as the program expands. So thank you to the whole program team contacts, and thank you to our partners for your work towards this ideal. And of course, thank all of you for joining us today.
Thank you, Michael, for your leadership as well, making this program possible in IIS. This webinar is intended to familiarize participants with the new solicitation in the program and to help you prepare to submit proposals that are consistent with the goals of the program. We'll continue with the overview and structure of the program as in the sequence you see here. One of the things I want to emphasize here is that you should be referencing both the solicitation and the NSF proposal and award policies and procedures guide, or the PAPPG, as you consider submitting to the program. Once we get through all this material, then the remaining time is going to be spent in Q&A as we cover it up front. So as we begin here, let's just take another look at the program at a glance. It's important to emphasize, and as you heard in the welcome, that the program seeks to deliver on a national strategy to make sustained investments in AI research in areas with the potential for long-term payoff and national competitiveness in AI. The emphasis on convergent, foundational, and use-inspired research is clear. Each institute has a critical goal, the significant advancement in the methods and understanding in foundational AI. The concept of the AI Institutes is that these AI advances are sought in a use-inspired context, that is, with an emphasis on convergent research focused on important application areas, on scientific discovery and societal challenges. which leads not only to foundational advances, but also AI-powered innovation for those sectors. AI institutes also leverage their scale and leadership position to nurture and grow the next generation of talent for our AI-powered future. And AI institutes can be seen to lead in their chosen areas of AI research and innovation as they establish themselves in what we call nexus points for continuous growth in their collaborative efforts. We're now in our fourth issuance of the solicitations in this program, and this is for the next two rounds of awards to be made in 2024 and 2025. As in all previous rounds in the program, we've been intentional in maintaining a consistent definition of what it is to be an AI institute, and this solicitation continues that. However, while the identity of the program remains largely constant, things do change over time, and you must be attentive to the solicitation, especially if you've previously engaged with the program. In the revision notes for the solicitation, we call your attention to several notable changes. There will also be small revisions to solicitation text throughout. So, as always, even if you're returning to the program and have been familiar with previous solicitations, it's vital that you take the time to read the solicitation carefully. This way, you can be most assured to be compliant and responsive. To highlight the most notable changes first, as usual, we solicit proposals guided by several theme descriptions, and you've seen there are three, and we're going to expand on those in detail later in the webinar. Second, in each theme, NSF is joined by some funding partners, as you saw highlighted, and we'll get into more detail on that later. Third, we call your attention to some expansion we've added to the way we describe use-inspired research. This is to, again, attempt to amplify this idea that use-inspired research is a fundamental mode or means by which we achieve our foundational AI and other research interests. And finally, as I mentioned up front, the solicitation covers the next two rounds, the next 2 years of anticipated awards. That means there's two different submission timelines and review timelines, and I'm going to cover that right now kind of at a glance. In the solicitation, at the end of the program description, you're going to find a program timeline reflected, divided into two groups according to the year in which we're intending to make the awards. This timeline reflects the review and selection process as presented in that section of the solicitation. In both groups, all themes, there is a requirement to submit preliminary proposals, October 31st for astronomy, January 12th for the others. The intent is to return the results of preliminary proposal review for you within a month's time, as you can see here. Full proposal due dates are February 16th for astronomy, May 17th for others. Merit review takes place in either one of these timelines after proposal submission, of course. During that period, the program is likely to continue the practice of inviting some proposing teams for a reverse site visit prior to final selection of institutes. Such teams are asked to choose key personnel to meet with the program officials via a video teleconference. Reflected here are the anticipated timelines for the scheduling and conduct of these RSVs. If there are changes to the schedule, all the lead PIs who have submitted to the program will be notified by email. Awards made in astronomy are anticipated October 1st, 2024, and the other themes have awards anticipated to start June 1st, 2025. We now turn our attention to the activities that constitute an AI research institute in this program. This is what we think of as the global scope of the program. The vision for the program is broad and ambitious. It is expected that each AI institute will pursue this vision in a unique way, but it's critical that you understand that every AI institute is selected for and evaluated on their impact in this full range of activities. The first function of institutes, and critical to all proposals in this program, is that AI research institutes must advance foundational AI research. This means adding significant new knowledge and understanding to the AI research central to your institute's vision. Institutes might address new foundational AI research priorities that arise from rapid advances in AI and the increasing ubiquity of AI-enabled technology, or challenge disciplinary divisions that result from the current state of specialization, or promote the establishment of new science, engineering, and educational communities that better reflect the long-term research needs for future AI. It's very important to emphasize that the institute proposals that do not describe a clear plan to achieve ambitious advances in foundational AI research are not likely to be responsive to the program. To understand the foundational AI research that is in the scope of this program, we summarize here the definition of AI that's provided in the solicitation. This definition helps the scope what the program is looking for in seeking to, quote, significantly advance research in AI. In a broad sense, AI is concerned with understanding the mechanisms underlying thought and intelligent behavior and their implementation in machines. What we often refer to as core AI research at NSF are methods pertaining to the learning, abstraction, and inference considered essential for the implementation of intelligent behavior in machines. Core AI research also includes the study of architectures intended to directly manifest that behavior, including general architectures for intelligence, integrated intelligent agents, and multi-agent systems. The modeling and implementation of intelligent behavior in machines began as and has continued to be a multidisciplinary endeavor. Many computational models of intelligence have drawn inspiration from living systems, drawing from biologically inspired computing, computational neuroscience, and behavioral and cognitive science. Computer vision and human language technologies have a high overlap with artificial intelligence, in as much as they provide methods for the perceptual and communications capabilities critical to intelligent systems. Robotics is closely related to, but not identical to, AI. Robotics can provide the embodiment critical for intelligent systems to be able to act upon the world. While an embodied AI may be a robot, the solicitation focuses on the AI aspect of that research. For example, the solicitation does not include in its scope development that is mainly focused on teleoperated robots or robots that repeat programmed instructions in controlled environments. Moving on in this list of six desiderata, the second is that AI research institutes will conduct use-inspired research. In the AI Institutes program, this means that a use-inspired context both informs the foundational AI research that we just discussed and drives innovations in related sectors through focus on use cases or application. The solicitation emphasizes that this should be conveyed in terms of clear and compelling goals, can enhance knowledge transfer, and create the potential for shared community infrastructure. It is important to understand that use-inspired research is a means of achieving the first goal of foundational AI, further expanding the context and value of the Institute's vision. And the foundational AI goals are a means for achieving transformative advances in the use-inspired sector. A compelling use-inspired context should balance the application of AI with the advancement of foundational AI in a way that is appropriate to your Institute's vision. Use-inspired research refers to basic research that has use for society in mind. The conceptual depiction on the right shows the broad potential for a range of use-inspired verticals, if you will, to inform and benefit from a wide range of potential foundational AI priorities. Institutes established in the program to date have found many unique intersections in this conceptual space. As before, we've taken inspiration from partners and the larger community to invite you, the proposing community, to come at this from different directions. In the astronomy and materials themes in the solicitation, we'll soon see that their intended domains of scientific discovery are largely defined in the scope of the theme. Yet consider there might be room for more institute-specific visioning within those pursuits. In strengthening AI, where the theme scope is strict only in terms of AI goals, you'll see that the potential for use-inspired inspiration and impact is limitless. The goal in this program is that each institute conducts foundational research within use-inspired context in a deeply integrated way. So ideally, the results from use-inspired application areas are generalized and even made foundational. But before we leave this notion of foundational AI and use-inspired AI, I want to address a question we're sometimes asked about how to select an appropriate balance in an institute set of goals between foundational AI and other domains. We want to warn against inappropriately putting these concepts in opposition to one another, and instead recall the virtuous cycle we aspire to. Not likely competitive for the program is a proposal in which AI is merely applied to the domain, or even in which AI goals are foundational and yet seem not well integrated with the domain. In the introduction to the solicitation, we identified the preferred convergent approach as being at the very heart of the program's identity. Use-inspired research is, quote, an expected modality of or means by which we wish to see you propose the foundational AI advances. The program description expands on the program requirement, defining the virtuous cycle in a non-superficial way. The use-inspired context, quote, reveals the opportunities for foundational AI advances, and those, quote, foundational AI advances in turn contribute to the domain. Finally, keep in mind that NSF and reviewers will evaluate proposals and later institutes on how well the activity leverages this use-inspired context consistent with your program, with your institute vision and the program vision. Okay, moving on further with these six desiderata. The third is to grow the next generation of talent. AI research institutes are expected to maximize their unique position to grow the next generation of talent for a diverse, well-trained workforce that will provide new discoveries and leadership. Specifically, these institutes should leverage the visionary nature of their research foci to drive new and innovative education and development tailored toward the nation's undergraduates, graduate students, and postdoctoral researchers, as well as through community colleges and skilled technical workforce training and other opportunities that advance knowledge and education of AI, including public understanding of AI. This could include innovative pedagogy, instructional materials, advanced learning technologies, project-driven training, cross-disciplinary and collaborative research, industry partnerships, new career pathways. Institutes should offer broad, deep, and diverse experiences to build the next generation of the AI workforce with a focus on broadening participation among groups of historically underrepresented in science and engineering, including women, people with disabilities, and people from other minoritized groups. Institutes must propose meaningful plans for these activities, and the solicitation describes required sections on education and workforce development and the broadening participation plan that focus on education and workforce development. We caution proposers, however, against seeing these as separate from the other proposed activities. Rather, education, training, and inclusion plans should be well integrated with the other research and coordination activities described in the proposal, forming a whole that's greater than the sum of its parts. Fourth desideratum we shorthand here as institutes should be multidisciplinary. AI research institutes are coherent multidisciplinary groups of scientists, engineers, and educators appropriate for a large-scale, long-term research agenda for the advancement of AI and the fielding of AI. The multidisciplinary nature of these institutes will catalyze foresight and adaptability beyond what is possible in the single research projects. This objective echoes the program's observation that AI itself has traditionally been highly multidisciplinary, and that use-inspired research requires synergy among a group of researchers enabling transformative advances in AI-related sectors and the interfaces between those areas. In reviewing institute proposals, reviewers and panels look for signs that the individual projects of an institute will be meaningfully integrated, resulting in contributions beyond the sum of the individual projects. Significant integration of multidisciplinary research can be a significant basis of confidence in this regard. Fifth, AI research institutes are expected to be comprised of multiple organizations working together to create new research capabilities. NSF and partner organizations seek to grow the network of national AI research institutes and lead organizations distributed throughout the country to grow new centers of AI leadership, leveraging existing centers of excellence as appropriate. Institutes are strongly encouraged to include organizations that can directly contribute to NSF's commitment to broadening participation by engaging a diverse, globally engaged research community, integrating research with education, and building capacity and expanding efforts to broaden participation from underrepresented groups and diverse institutions across all geographic regions. We again draw your attention to the importance of demonstrating that your proposal be greater than the sum of its parts here by meaningfully leveraging and integrating diverse organizations. In addition to a lead PI suitable to lead an institute, each institute must also be staffed with a managing director or a project manager. And finally, it's important to emphasize, while an external advisory board will be required for an institute, please do not contact, invite, or identify in your proposal any potential EAB members. This step should be taken after the merit review and selection process for the sake of COI management. Sixth and final one is that all AI institutes are expected to be nexus points for collaborative efforts. By nexus point, we refer to the role that an institute can play in creating an organization that encourages the continuing growth of collaborations, especially with external partners that can further enhance the impact of the institute. The nexus point function of the program is not a mere state of being. In other words, when you have assembled your multi-organizational AI institute, you don't point to it and say, look at our nexus point. Being a nexus point is an active set of priorities, programs, mechanisms, et cetera, whereby an AI research institute does several things: establishes itself as a thought leader and research leader in their chosen area, and pursues the continuing growth of collaborations with external partners to bring together people, ideas, problems, and technical approaches for maximum and extended impact beyond the members and the boundaries of the institute itself. Consider even at proposal time what kinds of priorities, programs, and mechanisms your institute could use to connect with new partners and create organizational collaborations and linkages with a range of organizations. Having emphasized the essential nature of all AI institutes, we're now ready to turn our attention to the three specific themes or high priority areas in which proposals are solicited for the next two rounds of awards. They are themes representing a subset of research areas at NSF and partner support, and which were determined to be both an immediate priority for funding partners and for which the research community was judged to be ready to be responsive this year. NSF's estimating approximately five awards as shown here. And so we'll let the theme leads say more about this. But before I invite the theme leads to expand on these, let me just address a question that comes up about submitting a proposal that might respond to multiple themes. Our answer here is, while it's possible, of course, to scope your proposal this way, your proposal must be submitted to one theme as the primary one you're submitting to. So such overlaps may not hurt your responsiveness if you've done nothing to compromise your focus on that primary theme you submitted to. However, consider each theme to be an independent funding pool as you think about the relevance to multiple themes. Viewed that way, you can see that it's not necessarily the case that special effort to make the proposal relate to the goals of another theme will make it more likely to succeed overall. It's most effective to respond as fully as possible to the scope of the theme you addressed. Relevance to other themes might be identified in the proposal text or keywords section of the project summary, if you like. And where such relevance is particularly strong, NSF and partners may co-review such proposals in those secondary themes. As always, it's a good idea to consult with the respective program contacts for each theme to get advice about your specific situation. So with that bit of preamble out of the way, I'd like to turn the presentation over to my colleagues. I'm going to start with Andreas Berlin from the Division of Astronomy, who's going to describe theme one. Andreas.
Thank you, Jim. Hi, everyone. I'm Andreas Berlin. I'm a program director in the Astronomy Division here at the NSF, and I'm leading the astronomy theme of the solicitation. This is the first time that our division has participated in this program, and we're very excited to be part of it. So as Dr. Punch said earlier, astronomy is a research field that is extraordinarily data rich. Data is coming in rapidly from lots of telescopes around the world, and future experiments will accelerate this dramatically. The data cover a wide range of wavelengths of light, will come at high temporal cadence. In addition, theoretical models that are attempting to simulate the data are themselves producing massive volumes of data. AI technology is rapidly entering our research field, and more will be essential for mining, analyzing, and extracting knowledge from these data. But solving the biggest challenges will require advances in foundational AI that are inspired by them. This is a challenge in our field because there isn't enough interdisciplinary collaboration between astronomers and AI researchers. In the realm of education, AI education within our astronomy community is not done uniformly and is not always informed by state of the art. So to address these challenges, the NSF, in partnership with the Simons Foundation, aim to fund up to two institutes. And our hope is that these institutes will tackle important research challenges in astronomy through multidisciplinary collaboration and will serve as hubs of knowledge and education in AI for the broader community. Next slide, please. So I'd like to just go over our theme's version of the desiderata that Jim went over earlier. Competitive proposals to this theme will identify important challenges in astronomy research that will be addressed by the proposed institute. As I'll say again later, the solicitation is broad, so many areas are possible. But the research plan should be appropriately ambitious given the scale of these grants. Equally important is the proposal should describe the advances in foundational AI that will be needed to tackle these challenges. And the foundational AI and astronomy research should be well integrated with each other. In this vein, proposals that describe application of off-the-shelf AI models to astronomy problems are not likely to be responsive to the solicitation. Competitive proposals will also present a plan for the proposed institute to serve as a hub of AI knowledge and education for the broader astronomical community, We would really like to see these two institutes that emerge from this competition have a broad impact and elevate the level of AI research within astronomy. And we encourage proposals to include activity that reaches researchers and institutions that do not have easy access to cutting edge data and methods. And finally, proposals should clearly describe the organization and management structure of the institute, including the roles of different organizations and team members. And the proposed collaborations that come forth should be motivated by the science and education goals of the institute and should add up to more than the sum of their parts, as Jim mentioned before. Next slide. So I'd like to just go over briefly a few commonly asked questions that we've encountered so far. So the most common question we've gotten is, what areas of astronomy are eligible? And the answer is, it's very broad. All areas of astronomy that we support in our division are eligible, and that really covers the whole range from planetary, solar, stellar, galactic, extragalactic, cosmology, interdisciplinary areas like multi-messenger astronomy, and theory. The solicitation is on purpose intended to be broad, and we want to see sort of the best ideas from all parts of the field. What about research that touches on neighboring fields like physics? Research activity in other fields is okay, as long as the main focus is on astronomy. What about space-based astronomy? Because this is something that the NSF in other solicitations has not supported as much as ground-based astronomy. In this solicitation, this is not restricted. The proposed AI work can involve space-based as well as ground-based research and data. The main thing is that the proposed research is sufficiently ambitious given the size and scale of the awards. Is it better for a proposal to tackle one astronomy challenge in depth or touch on a broad set of topics? The solicitation does not restrict this. What's important is that the research is sufficiently impactful, whatever it is, and is well integrated with foundational AI work. And finally, do the NSF and the Simons Foundation have different priorities that need to be balanced somehow? And the answer is no. The theme, again, is intended to be broad. Both funding partners welcome all ideas from the research community. Next slide. So there are a couple of specific things that relate to the partnership with Simons that we should address. So in terms of the budget, half of the proposed budget, which is up to $10 million, needs to be prepared for the Simons Foundation, following instructions from the Simons Foundation. And that part of the budget will be submitted as a supplementary document in the NSF proposal. So the budget will be split in two, with activities clearly delineated as on the NSF side and on the Simons side in order to prepare the budget. Keep in mind that the Simons Foundation has a different indirect rate policy than the NSF, and you need to look at that to adhere to it. Another result of the partnership with Simons is that in addition to the NSF PI meetings that will happen, the Simons Foundation will organize and fund annual PI meetings at the Simons Foundation in New York City. And we'll have reporting requirements. The review of proposals will be conducted by the NSF, but Simons Foundation personnel may observe panels and participate in the review process, and we expect to make award decisions together. One thing I really want to emphasize is that despite the fact that the budget will have these two components, both agencies, both the NSF and the Simons Foundation, will evaluate the proposal as a whole and the budget as a whole. The way in which the budget is split will have bookkeeping and project management implications, but is not intended to affect proposal review. Next slide. And finally, I want to address the issue of including people who are affiliated with Simons Foundation on the proposal, for example, people who are affiliated with the Flatiron Institute. First of all, the participation of these people has some restrictions. First of all, you should check with the Simons Foundation and ensure compliance with their policy on eligibility of Simons employees for external funding. But as the solicitation states, people affiliated with Simons may not participate in a proposal to this theme in their capacity as Simons employees. However, if they have an appointment at a non-Simons entity, for example, a university, they may participate in a proposal in that capacity in an unfunded basis, meaning they cannot draw salary. If you have questions about this or some specific case or any of the other things I mentioned, feel free to put a question in the Q&A. I'm also happy to meet with you separately to discuss your proposal. Thank you.
Yeah, with that, we're going to hand straight over to Sudhir Ogut, who's going to speak for AI for Discovery and Materials Research. Sudhir?
Thanks very much, Jim. Hello, everyone. I'm Sudhir Ogut. I'm a program director in the Condensed Matter and Materials Security Program of the Division of Materials Research at NSF, and one of the contacts, along with Sylvia Spangler from SAIS, for theme two of the solicitation. As Jim already mentioned earlier, this is the fourth round of NIA Research Institute solicitations, and the first one, like astronomy, in which the Division of Materials Research will directly participate. DMR's participation in this solicitation is based on the recognition that AI has been playing an increasingly important role in materials research, as more and more material scientists, physicists, chemists are realizing the power of AI technologies to revolutionize materials discovery and understanding. This team builds upon DMR's current impactful efforts on the Materials Genome Initiative, MGI, and expands the scale and integration of scientific challenges to enable AI-based transformative advances in materials research. We expect that a successful Materials AI Institute will make breakthrough advances in materials discovery and understanding, enable new AI-based capabilities, push the boundaries of foundational AI while being responsive to societal challenges and industrial needs. As mentioned earlier, Intel will be providing partial support for this institute theme, and I'll be talking about that briefly in a little while. Overall, proposals that advance both foundational AI and fundamental materials research in domains that are supported by DMR will be most responsive to this theme. I emphasize fundamental materials research to distinguish it from areas that are typically within the engineering domains. In a sense, if you would, therefore the materials portion of this, if you would normally submit this proposal to programs in the engineering directorate, that may not be, they may not be the best fit for this theme. And next slide, please. As I mentioned earlier, we envision the Materials AI Institute to expand DMR's ongoing efforts in MGI. To those who may not be familiar, Materials Genome Initiative is a federal multi-agency initiative launched in 2011 for discovering, manufacturing, and deploying advanced materials twice as fast and at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional methods. The DMREF program, short for Designing Materials to Revolutionize and Engineer Our Future, has been running for the last 10 years as DMR's primary response to MGI. I should also mention here in passing that DMR is a major partner in DMREF, but there are other directorates and programs at NSF that participate in it as well. In the 2021 MGI strategic plan, harnessing the power of materials data has been identified as one of the primary goals. The objectives in this goal are centered on AI-driven materials R&D for materials discovery and manufacturing. The new Materials AI Institute that will be funded in this solicitation can be viewed as part of DMR's continued efforts in advancing the MGI approach and vision. Next slide, please. So if you look at the description of the materials theme in the solicitation, you'll realize that it is material and application domain agnostic, and this is by design. By specifically not focusing on some subset of material problems or resource modes or tools, we wanted to solicit ideas from the entire materials research community on what burning materials research problems they think would benefit the most from recent advances in foundational AI, and in turn, push the boundaries of foundational AI to address challenges and opportunities in materials research. However, we wanted to provide some guidance geared actually more towards stimulating thought on research at the intersection of AI and materials. Hence, we provided the list that you probably saw in the solicitation of five potential lines of research. And these are globally multimodal data integration and data set development, foundational AI advances driven by materials research, first synthesis to synthesis at scale, human augmented materials design, and interpretable materials AI. The proposals that would be responsive to this theme can focus on any area or areas of fundamental materials research aligned with the division of materials research and employ various research modes. From a practical perspective, even though a particular institute may focus on some subset of material problems or modes of research, the potential generalizability of this focus choice to other materials problems and research modes is likely to align it with the AI ambition to generalize from data. Next slide, please. So here I want to thank again the industry funding partner Intel for joining NSF in this important AI research priority. This slide summarizes the nature of Intel's participation. You can find more details in the solicitation. The proposals that are to this theme should be careful not to add conflicts of interest with this partner in the ways shown here. In particular, I note that Intel will not participate in or observe panels or merit review. Individuals affiliated with Intel are not allowed to participate in proposals to theme two in their capacity at Intel, but they may be able to do so in their capacity at another organization. Proposers should not contact Intel about proposals to the theme or make any prior arrangements for collaborations in this theme during the proposal After the award is processed, Intel may offer collaboration opportunities to the funding institutes in the theme, including software, data sets, other computing infrastructure, and or researchers in residence. Discussing one of the common questions that we have received so far that pertains to whether the involvement of Intel as an industry funding partner would mean that the proposed research should be on or have a projection on semiconductor research. As I mentioned earlier, this is not the case at all. Partnership of Intel does not restrict the materials research themes of this institute proposal. As I mentioned earlier, we're interested in soliciting ideas from the entire materials community for research that is aimed at advancing materials discovery and understanding while advancing the frontiers of foundational AI. And with that, I'll pass it to Hector Franklin.
So good afternoon, everyone. My name is Hector Munoz Avila. I am a program director in SAIS and the team lead for Team 3. Let's go over the motivation for this team. AI systems built with multi-layer architectures trained in massive data sets have become increasingly capable of producing useful and impressive outputs. Unfortunately, these systems are not always reliable and may not exhibit justification for the behavior that is understandable to the people who interact with them. Furthermore, these systems can be brittle, susceptible to manipulation or anti-machine strategies, and produce output that do not align well with the human expectations of truth or human values. AI systems of the future will need to be strengthened if they are to be as robust as we would like, and if we are to keep such technology well aligned with societal intended uses. Next slide, please. Basic requirements for Team 3. Institutes funded under this team must lead advances in theory, methods, or integrative approaches that strengthen AI in all three of the goals listed below: grounding, instructability, and alignment. Now I will briefly explain each. Next slide, please. Grounding means that systems must understand the concepts they reason over and operate with. Grounding allows AI systems to demonstrate connection between its outputs and the abstract concepts that they operate with. Grounding will also enable systems to understand their own risks and limitations. Next slide, please. Instructability enables systems that can be proven experimentally to change their behavior appropriately in response to explicit feedback provided by even non-expert users. Instructability also enables systems implementing more effective and trustworthy assistance to humans. Next slide, please. By alignment, we mean that systems must be judged by how well their operations align with expectations of objective truth in a domain and correspond to societal expectations and human intentions in their operations. Next slide, please. Any AI approaches that contribute to these three goals are in scope. These might include, but it is not limited to, neurosymbolic approaches, hybrid integrated architectures, or multi-representational learning methodologies. Proposals that rely mainly on continuing growth of data-driven models and their access to more data are not responsive to the three goals above. Next slide, please. Here, we want to again thank our industry funding partner Capital One for joining NSF in this important AI research priority. This slide summarizes the nature of the partners' participation. More details are in the solicitation. In a nutshell, proposals responding to this team should be careful not to add conflict of interest with these partners in the way shown here. See the solicitation for full details and contact us with any questions you may have. Next slide, please. As we mentioned earlier, the Office of the Undersecretary of Defense of Research and Engineering and NIST have partnered with NSF to potentially contribute funding to institutes funded under this award. These agencies may participate at the award phase, contingent on relevance to their mission and funding availability. There are two ways you can communicate with NSF and partners about this. If you wish to identify aspects of your Team 3 proposal that you believe are relevant to one or more partners, you have the option to submit a supplementary document at both preliminary and full proposal stages to indicate relevance of your proposal to one or more partners. See solicitation for full instruction details. If you wish to indicate an objection to receiving funding in a Team 3 proposal that originates from one of these two partners, you may submit an optional single copy document at both preliminary and full proposal stages to indicate that your organization intends to decline an award that includes such funding. Again, see solicitation for full instructions and details. Finally, we note that here that either type of document described here submitted with a proposal, either preliminary or full, pertains only to that proposal. Documents submitted with the preliminary proposal do not pertain to the full proposal, and that you may change or clarify your position to these issues at the full proposal stage. And with that, I head back to Jim. Thank you.
Thank you, Hector. Thank you, colleagues. So now that we've finished looking at the individual themes, we're almost ready for Q&A. We've been typing some answers in the module, so please continue to submit your questions there. Where the themes are concerned, our program contacts will advise you on questions of responsiveness to the theme and compliance with the solicitation if you make contact with them. We can't give you any judgments or advice about the competitiveness of your idea, however. We encourage you to make contact with us prior to submitting your preliminary proposal, especially if you have questions about the responsiveness of your idea. We prefer that you email your theme-specific questions to all program contacts listed for that theme so that we can give you a coordinated and complete response. For feedback on the responsiveness of a proposal idea, you should include a project summary of up to 2 pages. After the preliminary proposal deadline, it's more awkward to give you really targeted advice because we've sent you feedback on the responsiveness of your preliminary proposal. So those program-specific inquiries should be limited to requests for clarification of that feedback that you received on the prelim. These requests for clarification must be submitted to the theme contacts. And again, please address all the theme contacts that are listed in the solicitation. Institute awards are going to be in a form of cooperative agreements, up to $20 million for up to 5 years, with an average yearly budget of around $4 million. Do not submit total budgets outside the specified range in the solicitation. In addition, some special instructions pertain to the way budgets in theme one are to be structured, as you heard in the alluded to in the webinar theme description, and we'll cover that a little bit more later. Solicitation does require that you plan for travel budgets for your personnel. This will be key to enabling effective multi-organizational synergy, so plan according to what fits your proposal. At a minimum, the solicitation requires that you plan for site visits and for PI meetings. Please also anticipate that institute operations require significant investment in administration. The solicitation anticipates this with the requirement that a managing director or project manager who's distinct from the lead PI be provided for. In addition to this role, you might wish to plan for supporting administrative roles of various kinds. What is appropriate depends on your proposal and the resources available to you at your local institutions. Be sure to account for these costs in your proposal and demonstrate how this will facilitate your institute's effectiveness. Now let's turn to the proposal steps, and we'll start with the first major milestone, the preliminary proposal. Preliminary proposals are required as a condition for submitting a full proposal. The prelim consists mainly of a 6-page project description. The description is intentionally very short, and within it, we ask that you focus on the intended scope of the proposed research activities. Therefore, we require these sections. Please read carefully the description of these sections and submission instructions and what we're looking for. You see them listed here, A through E. The section headers are mandatory and must be in that order. The page limit and suggested section lengths are intended to keep the focus of your preliminary proposals on your intended research scope and the suitability of the proposal personnel to carry out those activities. This is not the stage where we expect to review detailed plans for research and other activities. The submission guidelines also list sections not to include. This includes the section results from prior NSF support in the project description, as well as standard proposal sections you see excluded here on the right. Do not include those in the preliminary proposal. Again, we emphasize that the preliminary proposal is required, meaning a full proposal will not be accepted if not following a preliminary proposal reviewed under the solicitation. You will submit it to a theme, and the full proposal will be submitted by the same lead organization to the same theme. Preliminary proposals will be internally reviewed by program officers who are primarily looking for responsiveness and the likelihood that the concept is going to be competitive. After just a few weeks, we'll send an advisory determination by email to the PI and the authorized organizational representative listed in the proposal. In addition, narrative feedback may also be sent by email directly to the lead PI. This advisory type of determination indicates whether we encourage or discourage the submission of a full proposal. This is a non-binding determination, meaning even if you've received a determination of discourage, you may submit a full proposal that further develops the preliminary. NSF intends to provide these determinations within a month's time to provide you this feedback as early as possible in your continuing proposal development. Our experience with the same process in the last round showed the stage to be beneficial in proposal preparation and review. The prelim stage allows you to propose early plans for NSF, builds in more time for proposal development, and allows proposers to adjust plans based on feedback received, whether that be toward improvement of the preliminary idea or to avoid the effort in preparing proposals unlikely to succeed in a competition such as this, in which there are very few expected awards that are announced you in the solicitation. We want to reemphasize that preliminary decisions are non-binding. In any case, the decision to prepare and submit a full proposal should be taken carefully. Please note that the program may provide discouraged determinations to help members of the research community to make informed decisions about whether expending effort preparing proposals unlikely to succeed is the right thing to do and to undertake that significant revision, or if those personnel might wish to allocate their efforts to other proposals. So remember to consult the PAPPG guidance on preliminary proposals if you have any questions about the rules around this. Other questions arise about how your plans may change between preliminary and the full proposal. The full proposal must be submitted by the same lead organization and it must be submitted to the same theme. Aside from that, it is expected that a great many things might change when you submit the full proposal, including scope of activities, personnel, organizations, collaborations, and more. A required single copy document in the full proposal provides a place for you to identify significant changes since the preliminary proposal, and we'll look at that requirement more closely when we discuss the full submission. Another question that might arise is whether an individual may be listed as senior personnel on a preliminary proposal and then later listed as senior personnel on a full proposal from another submitter, that is, a submission based on a different preliminary proposal. Yes, this is allowable, as long as the individual listed is on at most one proposal at each stage. We now turn our attention briefly to the highlights of proposal preparation for full proposals. Here, let me preface by reminding everyone that the proposal preparation in the guidelines in the PAPPG apply. The solicitation addresses special instructions or deviations from that procedure. So be sure to consult the PAPPG where the solicitation does not have such special instructions. Among those special instructions is this 25-page project description. That's a key element of your proposal. And here at a very high level, we're showing you the required sections of the project description. Please include these headings as shown. Note that we ask you to address several desiderata that we group together as the strategic impact of the Institute to address under the PAPPG required section broader impacts. This is a convenience for you to group them under the required heading. Though we think this high-level organization is a sensible order for those major sections, it's up to you, in this case, how you order and number any of these headings. And you can add other sections as you see fit. In the solicitation, you may include the required results. You'll see that we allow for you to include the results of prior NSF support in a supplementary document rather than squeezing it into the project description. There are several other important instructions related to other required or optional supplementary and single copy documents, so please take a look at those. As with all proposal submission instructions, read carefully all the instructions in the PAPPG and the solicitation so you submit a complete and compliant proposal. As mentioned in the discussion on preliminary proposals, the full proposal will require that you submit a single copy document to help you link your full proposal submission to your preliminary proposal and call program officers' attention to the significant changes. I put an asterisk there under on single copy to emphasize to you that single copy in NSF parlance means it's one that's seen only by NSF program officials and not by reviewers. This document is going to identify the elements you see here in terms of here's how it links to a prelim and what changes you want us to know about that you made since the review of your preliminary proposal. You'll see that this summary significant changes is meant to be brief, 250 words. So, you know, here again, the brevity is an indicator of what we're looking for. Naturally, the full proposal is going to be a significant development beyond what was in your preliminary. Here, we just wish for you to summarize at a very high level the changes that depart noticeably from what had originally been envisaged in your preliminary proposal. Letters of collaboration. So they are allowed for the full proposal. These letters are most helpful for you to substantiate the broader range of partners you intend to engage in your institute and are therefore appropriate for such things. They're not necessary from the organizations that are in your proposal as awardee and subawardee organizations because their roles and commitments are clear in your proposal. They're self-evident. Including too many of those can distract from the ones that are truly value-added collaborations beyond those funded personnel. We emphasize here that letters of collaboration are encouraged, but letters of support are not allowed. This distinction is covered in the PAPPG. So the inclusion of endorsements of or statements of enthusiasm from the project for the project or its personnel from your letter writer, that's going to make your letter non-compliant. The letter should also not contain a description of the partner's organization and personnel. Finally, do not include letters from any of the funding organizations listed at the top of the proposal. Okay, in short, the PAPPG provides this as a recommended format for a letter of collaboration. We do check for this and flag for your whole submission if you got non-compliant letters. So stick to this and they'll be both easy to collect and avoid compliance issues. This letter, just keep in mind and maybe inform your collaborators that this is for proposal documentation only. Serves to demonstrate that you have a substantive potential to collaborate. Sometimes proposers have difficulty getting a letter writer to stick to this brief form because the letter writer has the mistaken understanding that the letter could obligate them to do a thing. Over such concerns, they might wish to state additional limitations on the letter of collaboration specifying the nature of the agreement to collaborate. We can tolerate that if the statements are brief and if they refer only to activity that's otherwise fully described in the proposal as required. If the letter describes plans and capabilities that are not otherwise found in your proposal in the proper place, such as project description or even the facilities and equipment and other resources document, it'll be considered non-compliant. If the letter contains statements from the letter writer regarding their organization and their capabilities, the letter will be non-compliant. And again, letters of support are not allowed. Okay, on submission and eligibility, here we'd emphasize some of the important submission and eligibility requirements in the solicitation. You can see them listed here on the slide. They're documented more fully in the full solicitation. So there are two types of institutions who can apply as lead organization, but other types of organizations can be subawardees. Where submission limits are concerned, you'll notice that it's two per organization at each stage, and that there's a limit on the number of proposals that you can participate on as senior personnel. It's one preliminary proposal or one full proposal, that is at each stage. PIs and co-PIs are senior personnel, but senior personnel is a broader definition that's included in the PAPPG. You should look that up. Basically, if you're a faculty level person or equivalent in your organization, you're senior personnel. Questions about the application of organizational submissions limits based on the campuses of the same university system. So here's the guidelines for that. If you happen to be from such a university system, there's a PAPPG FAQ that addresses this eligibility. A distinct organization for the purpose of separate proposals has these kinds of features here. These organizations tend to have their own DUNS number, separate sponsor project offices, and therefore can submit up to two proposals. See the full text of this in the link on the slide and contact us, have your AOR contact us if there are further questions about it. Okay, and now we're ready for your questions and we have plenty to start with. We've been answering some in the module. We'll take others live if they still exist. Continue to submit questions to the Q&A module. We'll address as many as we can. Also want to make you aware again that we are going to post these webinar materials, including this recording, to the program page within just a few days of this. When I post the slides, you'll also find that there are some bonus slides at the end here that address some other frequently asked questions. This will just be for your later reference, just a handy list of popular FAQs. So with that, let's turn our attention to the FAQ, to the Q&A module, and I thank everyone for your attention. So colleagues, let me know if you have anything teed up you want to answer live. I know Sylvia has volunteered to address a few of them that are still pending. Sylvia?
I have. Some of these I would like the group to be clear about.
Mm-hmm.
So the classic question is, particularly in themes 2 and 3, should a proposal be driven by a single application versus a single foundational advance put in multiple application areas? My answer is that your institute proposal is an integrated handshake between use-inspired and foundational AI. And the best way you and your team do that is the answer to that question. There is not a preferred way of doing it.
Thank you, Sylvia. And by the way, theme leads, if you see anything pop into the Q&A module that's theme specific, please just butt in and we'll address that. Meanwhile, let me just take a look at some of these other program-wide ones. We have one, are all key personnel expected to be funded? If unfunded, should they not be listed as unfunded collaborators? Okay.
That's on a pre-proposal. It's at the pre-proposal stage. I was going to say things change a lot between cup and lip. Just put it in.
So a key distinction, so NSF doesn't have a term key personnel per se, but they've got the term senior personnel. Don't put any senior personnel in your budget submission if they're not actually receiving budget. Okay. Talk to us about any other questions you have about that. I hope that helps. Somebody's asked a question about the one-page supplementary document that can be used for results of a prior NSF support, right? That's one page in total, not one page per personnel, right? Are all key personnel expected to have active or past NSF funds? The solicitation doesn't make any mention of that. There's no restriction like that in the solicitation. So are FFRDCs eligible to submit the proposals? No, they're not an eligible organization type. Institutes of higher education and nonprofits are eligible organization types. But we do have maybe, let's see, it might even be in my slides here. No. So the thing about FFRDCs is go to the PAPPG and find the guidance on funding to federal organizations. And you'll find that NSF usually does not directly fund other federal organizations. But if you include them as a funded organization in your proposal or you intend to, I recommend that you obtain one of these letters that's described in the PAPPG of the unique capabilities of the FFRDC and how those unique capabilities relate to your proposal. If you have questions about doing that, please email the program box and we'll help you with it. Will the preliminary proposal be provided to the review panel together with the full proposal? No. When we convene a review panel, they are reviewing the proposal in question. And in addition, I'll reiterate that they don't even see the single copy document in which you describe what your changes were since the prelim. They're just evaluating the proposal as it stands at that submission.
Jim, an additional point related to that, there was a question about whether, the panel will know that this proposal was not invited or was invited. And the answer is no, the panel will not know that information. So it's like rolling the dice again.
Yeah. We have a theme two question. Sodar, I don't know if you had a chance to notice that last one submitted. I'll give you a chance to read it if you like.
Oh, okay. This just got submitted, it looks like.
Now I want to make sure to clear the way for any theme specific thing.
This is, you know, when I meant research tools or modes, you know, it could involve any one of those different modes. There's not one preferred or this combination is ideal. It's to address the problems in materials while advancing foundational AI. So there's no, we wanted to keep it very agnostic in that sense.
Yep, good. If there's any follow-up to that, just type it into the Q&A module. Thank you, Sardar. Mm-hmm. There's a, let's see. So an early submission here in the Q&A module, and I'm sorry that we skipped past it. I wonder how the innovations in AI in the institutes would relate to or be encouraged to converge with the AI advances in industry. So the solicitation doesn't say anything about that, right? Depending on your submission and what it is you're trying to do, it might be a good idea to describe that in as much as it pertains to your institute strategy, but we don't have any kind of expected to or encouraged to language in the solicitation. Where we don't restrict things or encourage things, we don't have definitive answers on such questions. I know that's a non-committal answer, but that gives you all the running field you need to write your proposal. Let's see, have some people offering to collaborate with one another. That's fun. Talked about that one. Talked about the results of NSF support, right? One page total, right? The rationale for this is we don't need 25 pages of this from you, right? And you weren't going to write 25 pages of it if you had to squeeze it in the project description as the PAPPG required. We're giving you a full page, much more space than you would like to have allocated in your project description, right? To briefly describe your results of prior NSF support. Are there best practices or lessons learned from the existing AI research institutes that can be shared with the scientific community and potential applicants? Yes. We have baked a lot of those lessons into this webinar, places where we've been kind of reiterating and encouraging emphasis on certain aspects of the desiderata, and talking about use-inspired research and how not only proposals, but institutes are evaluated on how well they do this integrated practice. This is all lessons that are kind of confirmed in our experience with institutes. So as much as possible, we've been trying to reflect that throughout, both in the revisions to the solicitation and throughout the webinar. Should the order of the pre-proposal subsections be followed strictly? Yes. Oops. How many senior personnel are appropriate? There's no restriction to that. There is, of course, a restriction to the number of PIs that can be listed just by virtue of the practicalities of the NSF cover page. NSF cover page will allow for one lead PI and four other co-PIs. But you will list all of your senior personnel in a supplementary document as described in the solicitation. The number of senior personnel are enough so that you are covering all of the disciplines and activities and anticipated projects, the full scope of what it is you intend to do at institute scale. So sorry, I know that's non-committal, but it's better to give you open field than it is to give you a number. What's the historical oversubscription rate? Oh, you want to know about proposal pressure or funding rate. Unfortunately, we didn't really come prepared to talk about that. We only really came prepared in the webinar to talk about the current solicitation. But just bear in mind that we identify specifically the number of awards anticipated in each theme, and where that number is one or where that number is two, that's highly selective for the number of proposals sent in. This is part of the reason why we build in the preliminary proposal round, so that you have an opportunity to describe to us briefly your prospective proposal and we can give you feedback on that. And if you receive a discourage with remarks that really can't realistically be addressed and be competitive, that's our early sign to you about how you might economize that effort. That's the best we can do for you. Funding rates are a very funny thing in a program where number of submissions is highly variable and expected awards is sometimes one. So think of it that way. We tried to give you all the conditions we can to help you make informed decisions about that. Hope that helps. Again, theme leads, if you see something popping in here that needs answering, please just jump in. Was Sarah Sharif already addressed that one?
I'm looking at it.
Okay. While you're reading, Sridhar, let me just take a look at, in the pre-proposal, page limit very tight, yes, intentionally, should we identify the role of every senior personnel listed? My best advice to you is read the proposal preparation instructions for preliminary proposals. It indicates to you what should be addressed and even pretty much signals the rationale for what we want you to address. A really significant aspect of the preliminary proposal is for us to see, here's your intended research scope and the personnel you have that are meant to deliver on that, right? Imagine it's easy to write a preliminary proposal, it's certainly possible to write a preliminary proposal with all the right goals, but without the personnel to back that plan up. So you want to describe that linkage to the extent that it helps you make that case. Hope that helps. Sridhar?
Sahar is asking, can materials research use for designing AI hardware design, or the theme means only AI to be used for materials design? AI to be used for materials design is certainly one aspect of it. I didn't quite understand the other part, the materials research used for designing AI hardware design. Sahar, I'm assuming this is Sahar, you can send me an email on that. I'd be happy to look at it.
So here's a question. Is the evaluation of the pre-proposal based on compliance with the call, or is it based on the strength of what is proposed? I hope we've made clear, both in this recent answer to a related question and in the webinar, that the preliminary proposal is evaluated for its responsiveness to the solicitation, including the theme to which it's submitted. And our judgment of the likelihood of a full proposal based on that prelim to be competitive in the theme. So it's very much about the content of what you submitted there, not just a sort of mechanical compliance, if you will. Hope that helps. Hector, do you want to address theme three live, since I see you're toiling away there?
It was the question about should strength of the AI be based on a specific NSF AI Institute's teams, tools, or tools? And no, it doesn't have to be specific to existing NSF AI Institutes.
Thank you, Hector. Hope that helps. Somebody has noted. Thank you, everybody, for helping me to manage the Q&A module here. Thanks for cleaning up. I see this recent question. Are AI PIs required to be part of the proposal, or do domain experts suffice? So let me say a few things. One, I previously stated, and I will restate, where the solicitation doesn't require or restrict a thing, we don't require or restrict a thing. Having said that, please note the very, very serious goal of an AI institute to advance AI in its the knowledge and methods and understanding of artificial intelligence. So how you select personnel ought to reflect the full range of the six desiderata in the solicitation. Okay, we're out of questions. I see, we can see 3 o'clock is ticking down really fast. Last chance to type something into the Q&A module. I see people dropping off because you have meetings here at the top of the hour. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. I'll remind you, we're going to post these materials to include a few bootleg FAQ at the end here, 2 slides worth of other questions that sometimes come up. Please feel free to consult that. Get in touch with the program contacts with any questions. We're very happy that you joined us. We look forward to your proposals. Bye, everybody.